Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. If you're like me and you're spending any amount of time online, you're probably noticing a very large amount of discourse around the current situation with the U.S. and its posture, not just in Venezuela, but worldwide. There are so many different opinions, different worldviews, different beliefs on A, what the U.S. is going to do, B, how the world will respond, and C, what the outcome will be in the end. Some people continue to insist that most of what Donald Trump is doing is bluster, that he is making threats he doesn't intend to follow through on, just trying to get people to make deals, to be a bully, etc. Others insist that he is going to fulfill every single one of these things, that he is going to attack every country that he has made threats to. Last week, I did a brief episode right after Donald Trump issued the strikes in Venezuela, kidnapped Maduro, and brought him to New York for trial. In that episode, I kind of just briefly talked over some of the implications, the change in the order, the geopolitical order around the world, the likely shift in power and in freedom to take action that this move sort of signaled. Today, I want to touch on something slightly different. Now, before I get into it, I want to mention that the day I'm recording this is the 6th of January. So the episode that you heard over a week ago that I did on Venezuela, I actually only recorded that 2 days ago. So all that is to say that by the time you're hearing this, much could have changed. At the rate and pace that things are going, things could definitely be different by the time you're hearing this than what I know as I'm recording it. It seems that there are daily escalations in the threats that Trump is making in other places, and hourly developments on the goings-on in the Maduro and Venezuela situation. So forgive me if what you're hearing today does not seem completely up to date, but I'll do my best to keep it relevant either way. The question that I want to ask today, and one that I have thought of quite a bit over the last couple of days, is not, you know, what are all of the immediate terrible things that could happen because of this, but more, what happens if it works? What happens if the actions that Donald Trump has taken are successful to him and the actions that he will continue to take become successful to him? Let me explain what I mean there. Many people are talking about how this incursion into Venezuela, no doubt going to result in another decades-long sort of Afghanistan or Iraq situation where we end up with boots on the ground. We're trying to manage an entire country. The U.S. is tying up forces. People are dying by the tens of thousands, or at least members of the military. It will spell disaster for the U.S. economy, for the global economy. It will set the U.S. back, and it will hasten collapse over the next several years. And what I want to explore today is a counterargument to that, and I'm not necessarily saying that I believe that this is what will happen, though I do believe that this could happen. And that is, again, that this sort of works in Donald Trump's favor. We have already seen stocks rise over the last couple of days. Again, I don't know what they will have done over the course of the next week, due primarily to the fact that fossil fuel companies are seeing an uptick in investment because many of these oil companies are believed to have access to this oil in Venezuela. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump spoke with these oil companies prior to his incursion into Venezuela. From the beginning, Donald Trump has said, drill, baby, drill, let's focus on oil. And sort of do away with any focus at all on renewables. Not only that, but we're going to remove much of the research around climate change. We are going to take away incentives to purchase electric vehicles and other renewables. I wouldn't be surprised if he even puts disincentives in purchasing solar panels, wind, and others, or otherwise makes it really difficult to do. Instead, the call is to focus on fossil fuels. Now look, in the short term, there is a chance that this is a good strategy when it comes to sort of a short-sighted return on investment, a short-sighted view of the economy, and a short-sighted view of global power dynamics. Renewables are on the rise worldwide, especially in places like China. China is doing an excellent job at prioritizing the manufacturing and installation of renewable capabilities, and it seems like they are going to continue to do so. They are the world leader on this front. In the long run, this is the right move. And in the long run, I believe that will pay off for China. But when you consider the technological boom that we have had over the last couple hundred years, this has come from prioritizing fossil fuel usage. And I believe that Donald Trump knows that if he can control the world's oil, that again, at least in the short term, he can take advantage of that technological and economic boom. Now, of course, I say that this is successful in that it's successful in what Donald Trump is aiming for, or the Trump administration, which is a nearsighted, short-term advantage. Trump himself will not be around for many more years. Many of today's billionaires will not be around for more than 20 years or so. As a matter of fact, a majority of the world's billionaires are older than 60 years old today, with something like 60% falling into that age bracket of 60 plus. The median age of billionaires is around 67, meaning that half are older than 67. And only about 10% of billionaires are younger than 50. Why does this matter? Again, it is to say that billionaires in general may have a short-sighted target. Do they care what happens in 30 and 40 and 50 years from now? I don't believe so. If they believe that controlling the world's oil and continuing and ramping up the use of fossil fuels can give them an advantage, can make them wealthier, can improve their economy over the course of the next couple of decades, then they are going to do it. They can do their best to ignore the impacts of climate change and to take advantage of this moment in which they can be the leaders, the rulers of the world, controlling and maintaining the power that comes with controlling the world's energy source. Now, of course, looking further down the line, the impacts of increasing our fossil fuel usage, you don't need me to spell that out for you. There are well over 200 episodes of this podcast, nearing 300 episodes of this podcast that describe just that. All of our projections, the IPCC, their models, are primarily focusing on this idea that we're going to curb the use of fossil fuels, that we're going to hit net zero. But if the power dynamics shift and only a few core nations really focus on shifting to renewables, and others led out by the U.S. are focusing on a renewed use of fossil fuels, and are determined to suck out every last drop possible, then those already conservative models are no longer relevant at all. Even without an increase in fossil fuel usage, we are already heading into a world that's going to warm by 2+, 3+, and possibly by the end of the century, 4+ degrees Celsius. We talked recently about how we could be hitting 3C by 2050. With an increase in fossil fuel usage, with a decrease in focusing on renewables, that could shift even faster. Donald Trump talked about and threatened attacking other nations, like Venezuela, and nothing happened. Nobody responded other than in a tweet, right, saying this isn't right, don't do it. Then Donald Trump attacked boats, killing civilians, reportedly carrying drugs across the Caribbean. Nobody acted. Nobody did anything more than saying don't. Donald Trump invaded Venezuela and kidnapped their leader. Nobody has done anything other than saying don't. And now Donald Trump is threatening Greenland. And now Donald Trump is threatening Canada and Mexico and Cuba and Colombia and Denmark and Nigeria and others. I missed Iran, of course, Iran, who just happened to be, you know, amongst those countries, the largest reservoirs of oil in the world. Oil, other natural resources, and strategic military locations. There is no doubt, as the Prime Minister of Denmark has mentioned, if the U.S. were to attack or take over or invade Greenland, it would spell an end to NATO. Would NATO countries come together to attack the United States? Very unlikely. And if Article 5 of NATO shows that it does not function, then what good is NATO? This spells trouble for Europe, as the potential for an expansionist Putin and incursions into Eastern Europe. If Donald Trump were to make moves into Greenland, relatively, again, uncontested, what is to stop him from doing the same thing to Canada, who would then be already be cut off from Europe, or doing the same thing in Iran? And in so doing, you know, controlling at that point 70 or 80% of the world's oil. Now, I'm, again, not saying that this will work for the Trump administration. I'm not saying that there won't be issues, because yes, Of course, an expansionist country who prioritizes imperialism, colonialism, a country who is willing to sell its soul for short-term economic gain. These are the signs of a dying empire. We talk about the last gasp breaths of dying empires, and that is essentially, I mean, this is exactly what it is. But 10 or 20 years of potential or seeming success is not a long time when we talk about the timescales of empires. The U.S. stock market right now is a bubble based on AI speculation. Economic growth has been held back by tariffs. Trump is softening his stance on tariffs. And it's looking like this summer the Supreme Court may very well rule against them. If Trump sees that happening and says, it's okay, we can back off the tariff thing, that spells potential relief for the economy. Many investors will view that as a sign of improvement and optimism for things to come. If Trump is able to acquire steel, oil from these other nations, and in that way become temporarily energy independent, that increase in optimism, that increase in success for fossil fuel companies and oil companies could slowly replace the danger of the bubble that we're currently in due to AI. This all may look very attractive to corporations, to investors, to those multimillionaires who need places to put their money and now have it. There is, in my view, a narrow opening in which, again, at the expense of not just our souls, but the well-being of people in multiple other nations, the well-being of the globe, for the well-being of every person and nation, especially the impoverished who will be impacted most by climate change, by income inequality, by all these other things, there is this narrow landing strip in which this functions in the way that the Trump administration might hope that it would. And not just the Trump administration, but the ultra wealthy. And this temporary success would all but ensure disastrous collapse. And probably around that same time frame that I've been considering, that I've had my eyes on, which is, you know, in that range 30 years or so from now. Between 2045, maybe 2040 to the 2060 time frame. A time at which we could be simultaneously hitting 3 degrees Celsius above the baseline, causing a disastrous increase in droughts, in famines, destroying food availability, destroying access to water, causing untold numbers of natural disasters, and now converging all at a time when the U.S. will have expended the oil that it has conquered from other nations and will have nothing to rely on because it completely did away with any sort of future planning with renewables. This would be a time when countries who did prioritize renewables will find the most success, though they, of course, their people will be suffering the same consequences of droughts, famines, natural disasters, and so on. From a power perspective, China will be in a great place to take control in those coming decades as the U.S. essentially has finished exerting that last dying breath. All right, I will finish this by saying that yes, there is so much that could happen that would be disastrous, that would prove this effort unsuccessful for the U.S. in the short term even. This could spell disaster economically. There could be international retribution against the United States, sanctions, lack in tourism, lack of trade, and all the other things that come with isolationism that could cause serious issues for the U.S. and global economy in the near future. This could spark war. This could spark world war. Many people are saying that this looks much like the lead up to World War I, which I am admittedly uneducated on. I need to do more, learning on history and how the wars started. But I'm seeing that conversation happen more and more, saying this is exactly how the lead up to World War I began. And the potential for short-term or near-term global conflict could spell disaster for everyone. But I think this goes well with sort of the overall theme of collapse and this podcast, which is that collapse will happen. The real question is how. We could intentionally collapse ourselves today through degrowth, experience the discomfort, the difficulties that would come with intentionally decreasing globally our consumption, our standards of living, you know, a demographic shift towards a lower population that could more gradually reach a point of equilibrium below the level of overshoot, right? That is something that could happen. It would still be collapse. It would still be difficult, but it would be much better than the collapse that we will experience if we continue moving forward full steam ahead. And the same thing can be said of this current situation. The U.S. is seemingly moving forward full steam ahead, relying on the very sources of energy that got us to where we are, seeking power and domination through the illegal acquisition of those sources of energy. And doing so may either give us a blip of economic success, if you define success that way, a blip of continued comfort, of continued standard of living, followed by a drastic, rapid, dramatic, and crushing collapse. The future is so unknown. We're now heading into an immediate future much different than one that I had ever really pictured. And in every moment, there are an infinite number of potential choices that can be made that will continue to alter what the next moment looks like. This trajectory that the U.S. is on, will it be altered if the Democrats have a midterm victory? Thinking a couple years down the road, what if the Democrats could win the election? This is, of course, always throwing in the caveat that with Democrats, we have business as usual, which is terrible in its own right. But does it stop the continuation of this push towards a world war, this push towards imperialism, at least as blatant and rapid and in your face as it currently is? Do we move back to at least some form of previous status quo instead of exploding forward in this manner? Obviously, the answer is I don't know. And too much speculation is never going to give us the proper answer that we want to hear. It's so easy to simplify and imagine a future in these different scenarios. But the truth is, again, there are an infinite number of possibilities, and those possibilities change every day based on the actions taken moment by moment. We may have locked in a certain amount of warming, right? We may have locked in a certain degree of collapse, but there are degrees much worse, and there are degrees much different. There are forms of collapse that are much different than others, and all of it is still on the table. All we can do is take the current moment, we can take the current happenings, the trajectories, we can try and extrapolate based off of that to see what a future might look like. But in the end, I kind of just want to really drive this point home that you should not listen to anyone, myself included, who pretends to know what the future is going to be. I have ideas in my head, right? I do my own modeling and speculation and thought exercises so that I can best sort of understand what I feel like we're headed into and how I can best prepare for that and mentally prepare myself for that, etc. But you have to be able to do that for yourself and not rely on what someone else says. So when I come in here and say, hey, there's a chance that this is what the future can look like, you have every right to say, I don't think so. Let me know what you think the future looks like. What does the future of the U.S. look like based on these current actions? You know, do you agree? Do the wealthy just continue to get wealthier, especially in the U.S. based off of these current actions? Or does it spell a more imminent disaster for the U.S., for the elite, for the economy overall? Okay, thanks for being here. See you again tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.